Welcome to the Biz for Good show with your hosts, Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. The Biz for Good podcast is a fun and adventurous series that dives into the world of business, nonprofit, and startups, making a difference in the world for good. Get ready for another episode. Hey, cue that sick intro.
For good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're going to see us soon. Technology, you got to love technology. We love technology.
Kip is in the building. He is back.
All right. Welcome to the Biz for Good show, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Bobby Glenn James, and usually along with the Ryan Pilkington, but today we have
Kevin Taylor here covering for Ryan because Ryan and his wife Linda are unfortunately at her grandmother's
funeral, unfortunately. So our hearts go out to them.
Yeah. Sorry, I knew it was a family member. I just was a little confused there on exactly who. But yeah, we put our prayers and our best wishes their way and invite anyone else to do the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. So thanks, Kevin, for taking this on. And of course, today we have
An amazing guest,
because we only have amazing guests on the show, the Brett Evanson.
Thank you for
showing up, sir.
Glad to be here.
All right.
Awesome.
As we get in, let me just a quick reminder that we need to invite you to visit the website and to leave feedback.
What is the website?
BizForGoodShow.com. And leave your feedback on the episode or others. Also, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Yeah,
we have it. I've never heard of Twitter. It's like frost. It's like frozen.
Yeah, it's like Twitter and Instagram.
There you go.
Yeah. Which we have both. We have Twitter and Instagram accounts. If you can find the Twitter and Instagram accounts, congratulations to you. We have a hard time finding them most of the time. But feel free to go there, visit those. Also on the Instagram account, if you have pictures of doing good in the world, hey, tag us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
we want to see some good doing in the world, some be good, do good hashtags.
Yeah. That's how you can get it. Make sure we find it. Hashtag be good, do good.
Hashtag be good, do good. And let's show some Instagram stuff. We want to see it smashed all over Instagram. We promise we're going to start putting stuff up too. Awesome. Hey, we'd like to say thank you to our sponsors, EFL 360. Of course, we have two founders of EFL360.com here today. Thank you, Kevin, for saying, sure, yeah, I'll come talk with Bobby and this guest. Sure, that'd be great. We also want to acknowledge Speak Up, Professional Speaker Studio, a place where folks that want to become more professional speakers or want to learn their craft, hone their craft. And we believe that every business owner should be a speaker of some time because you can make a bigger impact talking in front of people than just giving your business card out at a networking meeting or something like that. So,
and as a business owner, you own your message. The question is, how well do you own it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So speakupspeakers.com for Speak Up.
All right. Should we get into our opening segments here?
Yes, we should get into our opening segments.
All right. And as usual, when I show up, we make the guests do the work. People are going to learn if Kevin's guest hosting, I'm staying off. Wait until Ryan can be there because Ryan does the work. But we make our guests work when I show up. So our biz hack today is courtesy of Brett.
Biz hack. What do you got?
Well, in thinking of something that's just helped us run our business really well, we use a tool called Asana. It was built by one of the original Facebook guys.
Asana.com, right?
Asana.com. A-S-A-N-A.
That's easy.
.com, yep. And it's kind of like a task management thing. We use it almost like a ticketing system internally. And, you know, we've had as many as, you know, 30, 40 people using it at one time, assigning tickets back and forth. It's really easy to see who's on top of what task, who a specific thing's assigned to, what's in each person's queue. It's like what things they've got working on. And
you know, it sounds real robust too, but I use it also in one of my companies and it's actually very simple.
Oh yeah.
It is extremely simple to use. If you want something that you just need a few of your folks in your business or whatever to just keep track of what's going on, It is awesome. It is so simple, and it's cool. Sometimes if you click, you finish something. If you have the right setting, a unicorn will shoot across the page. Do you ever have the unicorn?
I don't have that turned on, but some of my business partners do. So if I'm sitting right next to them and they're clicking stuff,
or bats or birds or something, they'll fly across. I mean, it's a fun app, but it's also super useful. And I just love that you don't have to be a tech guru to run Asana and keep track of things. It actually is a good product.
Well, I've used it as a one-man project manager on just like a side project, just to keep track of things that I've got to do. It's really drag and drop for tasks. And so keeping track of what's next and subtasks and things, you can break it down into pieces and have notes on each one. It's helped a lot.
It's become hugely popular too. Yeah. I mean, if you need something to keep track of what's going on, Asana is a great product. That has so many usages, and again, they've learned how to keep it simple and make it super user friendly, which in my opinion is the big. I mean, I've seen some project management things, and I'm sure you have too, that you basically need a college degree to figure out how to function in that project management software. So this is not that.
Well, and like 95% of our communication in our business completely is in Asana and Slack.
Wow.
We use very little email, only with external people. And even then, we've created Slack channels for external groups. So, I mean, everything gets lost in email. So if you can use tools that aren't email to help you keep track of stuff, that's what Asana does really well.
Awesome. Yeah, don't they even say in that one of their taglines to get rid of email?
Yeah, maybe.
Quit using email or something like that.
So before we started recording, you were talking about you've got a huge number of people using this, but you're still on the free. I mean, it sounds like it's pretty robust even on the free product that they give away.
I mean, I don't even know if there's any features that open up that I would use in our business for the paid version. It's just bigger teams. I think they let you have 15 people on a team, but we have like 7 teams. And I think we have one team right now that has 15. So if we hire another person on that team, then we have to pay for everybody. But right now it's working out fine.
Awesome. Yeah. Super good tool. I think that's a great biz hack. Super cool tool, useful. Check it out. We'll put it on the Facebook page, asana.com, so people can check it out. Absolutely a good product to use, try out, and move forward with it. Cool. Some good news, baby.
Some good news. Let's take some good news.
Kevin's got some good news for us.
All right. So we always hear about the tech industry being this total good old boys club where you got to be white or Asian and male to get a job.
Is that what we hear?
Well, it is in the news. It's a popular place where Silicon Valley gets bashed, that if you're not one of those, go somewhere else. But there is a 18-year-old girl in North Carolina. Her name is Claire, I hope it's Laffan or Laffan?
Laffan?
Laffan? Let's go Laffan. That sounds good.
Laffan.
Sorry, the article does not have pronunciation for her last name. But she's just graduating from high school. She's gotten scholarships in STEM subjects, but what she's doing is reaching down to younger girls to encourage them to understand science and get excited about math, so she can start to address one of the problems that the tech industry claims: there are no girls applying for the jobs. And so she's reaching out and just helping these younger girls start to understand science, technology, engineering, and math. And I love the quote that she has in here. She says, "When I'm learning about science and math, I feel like I'm kind of tearing away the wallpaper at how the universe works, and you can see how the gears move.
Wow.
It somehow makes
that's
you feel
deep.
Makes you feel part of something like nothing else does."
Wow.
I think if she can reach out and share that excitement with elementary and middle school girls in North Carolina, that's doing some good in the world.
Absolutely. You know, we have a funny way of every time we have good news, we kind of reach out and see if we can get those folks on the show. So she might be a fun one to have on the show. What's going on here?
You had the 5-year-old artist.
Yes,
is that who you're talking about?
Cassie Swirls on. We're getting we've ordered our painting. She's got our painting. She's going to send it to us. And we're going to have them slated for in August to be on the show. Her mom and, and her, because of course her mom has a big part of all this doing back and giving back. You know, it's mom that's really going forward with the good that they're doing in the world, and she's just an amazing little guy. So yeah, it's we have really a funny cool. So that usually it's funny how we go reach out to the folks that are doing good out there, and so maybe we'll have Clara LaFon and she could tell us how to say her last name on the show.
It sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, then the quote of the day.
Quote of the day. Quote Kevin, the Mr. Taylor has found the perfect quote of the day.
Well, I don't know if it's perfect, but I found a quote of the day. Let's roll with that.
Okay.
So the quote of the day comes from Ariel Martin, who has the amazing credentials of being an internet personality. I have no idea what you have to do to qualify for that, but that is Ariel's credential. As the quote is, never listen to the haters. Work hard and do what you love.
Work hard and do what you love. So never listen to the haters. Never.
Apparently not.
Okay.
You know, which makes sense. I mean, you want to listen to your target customers.
Your tribe.
Yeah, if your tribe is telling you no, it's broken, listen to them. They love you.
But the haters don't care. They're just there to spread hate anyway.
Just to mess
just
you
lame.
Up.
Lame. Yeah. I like it.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah, I mean,
no wonder he's an internet personality.
Yeah,
gives good advice.
But you know, I also like the work hard part because I think a lot of people are just like, don't listen to the haters, and it's just going to happen somehow. But you know, there's a lot in there.
Yeah, some of the YouTubers and stuff you watch, every once in a while, it comes through that like, hey, this is hard work. It's fun, and I love doing this, but having a video up every day is not easy to do. It's work.
Yeah.
People think, oh, I'm going to go have millions of subscribers. But you don't do that overnight, and it's not by accident.
And there's a lot of skill to that.
Absolutely.
Not just
trial and
sweat
error.
And tears, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of time to put in on that.
Yeah. I mean, some of those kids look like they're not working hard, but they're motivated. They're pushing forward.
It's awesome. Hard. It's hard to make it look like you're not working hard. Yeah. It takes skill to make it look like you're not working hard.
Yeah, so exactly.
My daughter wanted her own YouTube channel. She is now 10. I think she was 7 when she first wanted it. And she based it on all these unboxed channels.
Hmm.
You know, you think, oh, well, how hard can that be? You know, get a product, open it up, put it on the screen. It is amazing how hard it is to be the silent producer behind a camera trying to get an 8-9-year-old girl to hold what she's doing in the frame of the video. And, you know, because you don't want to be, like, jerking the camera all over the place and giving people, you know, fits or whatever.
You just don't think about stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you know, and she's opening it down here, pulls it up next to her face to show off the product. And I'm like, whoop, hold on, scanning up. By the time I get up there, she's got it back down and is working at the table again. It's like, oh! So, yeah, you talk, I mean, yeah, making a video look effortless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is work.
Easy. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and these are the people who we say don't work in our society for the money, right?
Right. Absolutely. That's hard stuff. Awesome. Okay, well, hey, I know you've just been sitting there so patiently.
Oh, I'm kind of a reserved guy, so I'm trying to be more vocal here. But...
He's on the show. We're going to get you out of your cell.
All right.
Cell? Your shell, let's say
off
that.
Off my shelf, out of my shell, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, awesome.
Obviously, none of us can speak today.
Yeah. Oh, I'm, twisted, tied, tongue and twisted. And
we need Ryan back.
Yeah, Ryan's supposed to keep, you and me get together, there's nobody holding this thing together. We go all over the place.
I hope you're not hoping for me to do that, because I'm probably not going to help them.
By default, he was the third in the studio.
Yeah.
Dang it, Brett. We were
sorry, guys.
Oh, we were totally dependent on that. Okay, let's focus.
All right, back all right. where
let's,
we are.
Let's actually ask him some questions.
Should we find out why Brett's here? Is that a crazy idea?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So tell us about Brett. What's going on with you? What? Did we get some input from the magical phone? Sky, were you saying something? Nope. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh, okay. That's our little voice, you guys. You got the little voice is still there.
If you ever watch The Wizard of Oz, you pull back the curtain. Yep. Sky is behind the curtain.
Yeah,
we're the big floating head with the smoke, and
she's turning the dials,
the curtain, turning the knobs.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
What was the question again? We lost track.
Did we ask the question? Squirrel. Yeah,
I did it. You did it. We did it.
Let's see. So, tell us who are you?
Oh, okay. That's a
we'll
good
start
question.
With the tough one.
Sure. So I'm the CTO of a company called Smart Rhino Labs. We've been around since 2011. We do marketing services for recruiters. So that's kind
of.
Oh,
that sounds so exciting.
Oh, that's very exciting. B2B. Yeah, really, really fun stuff. And I guess we can get into that a little bit later. But kind of my background is I did a Master's of Information Systems Management degree at Brigham Young University. And I graduated in 2007. And since then, I've never had a real boss. I've never had a real job. I've always, right out of school, I started doing consulting and like freelance work. And rolled that into a couple companies that have gone away since then. I actually did a how to not start a startup presentation for one of the groups here at the
entrepreneur
groups that basically I outlined all of the failures I've been a part of. That was kind of a fun thing to do. I think they say one out of every 10 or 11 is actually successful, and I think I'm at like 1 for 8. So I think
you're
I'm beating
the odds. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no. Smart Rhino Labs is going really well, and that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay, awesome. So we got to jump. Smart Rhino Labs. How did you get that name? That just
we got to figure that out.
Okay,
it's
so
a good story.
It wasn't me. I wish I could take credit for it, but Smart Rhino Labs has four founding partners, and all four of us are still there and active daily contributors. And we were sitting around, kind of. It was actually a little bit into the company. We had a fifth partner who came and then left within like a month, but he came right when we named the company, and so it was named something it was dumb, but we're gonna we were talking about rebranding. It was a dumb name. So we were talking about getting rid of that and renaming, and we kind of liked the idea of having an animal as part of the company name. And someone mentioned like, oh, wouldn't a rhino be cool? You know, they're like really powerful, and you think it could just like charge through a whole building, and just think of all that could do, you know, all a rhino could do. And someone said, well, you know, don't you kind of got this impression that maybe rhinos are dumb? They're not that, you know, kind of slow. And turns out they're not. They're actually really smart animals. But, you know, you don't think that when you think rhino. And so someone said, well, what if you had like a smart rhino? We're like, oh, and all of us were kind of like, yep, that's it. There you go. Smart rhino. We threw labs on there because when we started out, we didn't really know what we were doing. It was kind of a place where we just started things and kind of, threw crap against the wall and see what stuck. So,
what will we create now?
Yeah. It's a good thing I was not on your board, or you would have been stuck with something like Massive Manatee.
Yeah. just switch it up a little, get some alliteration there.
Yeah. Oh, Smart Rhino Labs.
Yeah.
I love it.
Nice.
It's a great name.
Yeah. We like it too.
And with that said, let's go ahead and ask. So the Biz for Good show, we always ask, what does Biz for Good mean to Brett Evans?
Yeah. Okay. And I've thought about that the last few days, and I kind of had two things that popped out that I could kind of share. First off, when we were starting Smart Rhino Labs, we really wanted to do something that would, you know, help a pain point. It's like business 101, mm-hmm. Try and find a pain point and alleviate it. And we've kind of done that through a lot of technological automation. We are a pretty tech heavy company in what we do. And so a lot of our solutions we provide to employers are technology solutions that enable communications. That's like one of our bread and butter things. So in doing that, we kept thinking like, okay, how do we make this, how do we take what's currently out there and make it, you know, easier to communicate, but not like, I'm sure you guys have all seen those websites that are like, it's a registration path where you sign up for something, you get signed up for like 100 offers, and do you want to, I don't know,
give
us
your email,
loan.
We'll give you something free, and
yeah,
8,
free iPad, and
we'll call you.
And Viagra, and you know, who knows what else, right? So there's that way of kind of marketing to people that you can, those guys make a lot of money, right? They do. That's, or else they wouldn't be there. So, but there's also kind of a more biz for good way where you actually focus on making a better user experience for both, I mean, in our business, like the job applicants and the employers. We try really hard to make it a really good experience. And there are, since day one, there have been choices that we've made in our business to not exploit the job applicants that we have a lot of, in order to make it a better user experience for them, a better job application. But also, in doing so, we've provided a better value, a better, you know, potential job applicant to the employer.
Absolutely. When they're treated better, then the company looks better.
Exactly.
For treating them better too. And it's not this scammy, yep, really underhanded feeling, oh, they didn't really want me anyway, this is a lame way to get me to be interested in something.
Yeah.
It's better branding for the company for sure.
And it's interesting watching over the last, you know, 6 years since we started this, there have been companies that have come that have a messier job registration than ours is, that probably collect more revenue per user, but they've gone away because, you know,
they run out once they've,
yeah, you kind of
exhausted their crappiness.
You kind of burn bridges left and right, and then what's left? You know, and they don't have a core thing that's very good. Mm-hmm. And there's been some regulation that has come up around, you know, consumers and mobile phones specifically, and text messages and stuff, which all touches things that we do. And sometimes when some of those things come up, some of our competitors can't hang with the new regulations, and so they just go away because they can't not get sued by the government.
Interesting.
Whereas us, we're like, oh, you know what? We're already compliant with that. We don't, you know, maybe we have to add some language here or like do a little small tweak, but those things haven't critically handicapped our business because we're not, you know, riding that edge of bugging the crap out of the consumers.
And you guys aren't really, you're not working with really tiny companies either. I mean, you're working with some big companies with some very big branding that you have to really watch what you're doing.
Yeah.
And cross your T's and dot your I's. So who are some of the companies you work with if you're okay with that?
Yeah, no, we're really heavy in the transportation space. So we do a lot with, like here locally, CR England's a really good client of ours. We work with, you know, 10 of the top 10 trucking companies. You know, we've got contracts through with, you know, FedEx and, I don't know, J.B. Hunt, Swift, Knight. I mean, you name any of those companies that you're seeing these truck, you know, semi-trailers go down the road, we've probably helped recruit for them at one time or another, or are doing so now.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the alphabet soup of the alphabet game on a road trip is,
yep, that's exactly, yep, that's us. We also do a lot with Uber, like in the ride-sharing space. We help them recruit drivers for their platform.
That's an interesting space right now, but yeah.
Yeah,
they need all the help they can get
today,
with a good,
right,
name. Yeah.
No, and I mean, they're a good company. I think they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, just they're a disruptor,
come back,
man.
To bite,
I mean,
me,
it's beautiful. It's awesome.
But yeah. So so we kind of custom tailor our process or our communication with a job applicant or a, you know, a ride sharing participant in order to kind of match what the employer is looking for.
Yeah, you think about that. That's got to be tough. I mean, there's thousands and thousands. I mean, how many job fills do you do for that kind of, like Uber, for instance? I mean, how many people? If as big,
you're
as that's
asking the wrong
now,
guy. I don't know, like, daily
data
counts. I know. So we're approaching, I think we're at like 12.8 million job applicants that have gone through our site.
Jeez.
So we're approaching 13, and that's in, you know, 6 years. And
That's looking at treating them like a human being too.
Yeah.
That's 12 million actually giving them a real experience, not just spitting them through a system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And so we have a lot of growth happening like outside of the transportation space. That's kind of where our core is working, but we're doing a lot in like healthcare recruiting, and we're doing like customer service and like other call center recruiting stuff too.
Awesome.
And we have a team of like over 200 recruiters that are, you know, W-2 employees, work for us.
That work for you.
That
you
work for us.
Over 200 employees right now,
yeah,
currently at,
yeah,
Smart Rhino Labs.
And they kind of play matchmaker between job applicant and company. So help,
wow,
help match people up with a good job opportunity.
Biz for Good is everywhere.
It's
interesting because you hit it on the head. The folks that weren't focused that way have left.
Yeah.
Left the space. It over and over again, we see when your mindset is a good experience and treating people good, you stay in the business.
Yeah.
And you keep getting clients and you keep connecting with people. It's not rocket science, people. It really works.
It's interesting, when we were first barely getting started, there were people who would come to us and ask, like, well, why are you actually priced more expensive than some of your competitors? And we're like, well, we don't do this. They're like, oh, I see why that, you know, I see why you're more expensive now. And it's because we don't do all those things that kind of dilute the attention of the user, and then it just makes them that much more interested in the job opportunity if it's not filled with a whole bunch of other offers.
You know, the thing I love that I'm hearing is you started out by talking about addressing a pain point. And it sounds like you've actually found a number of pain points, both for the employer, but then also a pain point for those people being recruited.
Yeah.
You know, their pain point is, I came here to get a job, and I walked out needing a new email address because I couldn't even find the job offer amid the spam that I got from applying for my job. And you look at that, and that pain point was basically people not doing good. But you address that with a way that we're doing good by all of our customers as well as internally. I think that's a really great lesson.
Super powerful. It amazes me how simple the concept is and how many people miss it.
Well, I could see the slippery slope of, you know, day one doing what we did, but instead of saying, hey, let's focus on a good user experience, hey, let's focus on squeezing the most money as we can out of this traffic.
Biz for greed.
Yeah.
And that's the slippery slope where you say, oh, you know what? Let's just add, you know, one more advertisement here. Oh, we've got two, so let's just add another one, right? So there's three. I mean, is anyone going to really notice if it's three instead of two? You know, like that's a slippery slope.
The first ad you're going to notice.
Yeah. And I mean, lots of legitimate sites like Monster.com, CareerBuilder, all those guys, a lot of them will have advertisements in their registration flow. And there's kind of a line that you dance to. You have to make money somehow, and then you have to, you know,
give an experience
that's good. So yeah. I think a lot of that, you know, fine line is making sure that you're not ruining your job applicant's experience by, you know, throwing a bunch of stuff in front of them they don't care about.
That is awesome.
You know, when he talks about throwing the stuff you don't care about, it reminds me of I don't want to name them, but a place you can go online, and you'll probably know the place, to get really cheap business cards.
I know what you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody knows who I'm talking about. You've seen the ads. You've probably been there for something. It's a guilty confession.
There's a logo on the back of your card.
Yes, there is. But their checkout process, it's like, I've selected what I wanted. I'm ready to go.
Here, you want this too.
Yeah, and maybe
this.
And if you don't want that, how about two of these and this? Would you like to double your order
today?
And
we all know about upselling. I mean, that's a thing. I mean, we know that's a thing. But like you said, there's a fine line there.
And the experience is gone. It makes you think, is it really worth the $5 business cards to deal with this checkout?
Let's see. Some of that depends on, like, who's calling those shots, whether they have, like, a product manager who's actually focused on that and not necessarily, you know,
the overall experience.
Beholden to the CFO, because the CFO is going to look at that and be like, hey, you know what? Our margins are down. What can we do to boost our margins? And if someone's there, like, oh, we can just add this here, you know.
One more checkout ad. We'll...
So it depends how many cooks you have in the kitchen and how you can structure that. We've been really lucky that the partners at Smart Rhino were kind of all on the same page with that vision of having user experience be first.
And so again, sometimes lean just, it makes it easier to do things right.
Yeah. Well, if you have the right people, right? If you're lean and your
mindset
is this
direct, or if you have a couple that the mindsets aren't the same. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, lean has helped us be really agile. And that's one other thing that's kind of helped us kind of stay on top of the pack, is being able to change things. You know, we'll find out about a new technology. We do a lot with, like, push notifications in your browser, and we do text message stuff, and we do pre-recorded voice conversations and things. And a lot of these things are, we just kind of had an idea and spun up a a test pilot that ran for like a few days, and then like a few months later they're, you know, big chunks of our business now, mm-hmm. just because we kind of took a few days and kind of knuckled some stuff out.
Yeah, but I've been to your business, I've been to your place, and it's super hip. I mean, it's really,
thanks. We put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah, it's very fun, and you know, you got your games and stuff, and you got you even have a Zen room, don't you, where everybody can go and
kick
back in the Zen room.
So we name all of our rooms after ski resorts in Utah. So we have a room called Solitude, like the ski resort, and it's our quiet room, and there's a couple couches and some blankets and pillows, and you can lock it and just kind of take a nap. Or we actually, in that same room, we have an Oculus VR and a computer with a big screen to monkey with if that's your type of relaxation.
Oh, that's awesome. Because when we talk about Biz for Good, a lot of times happy employees gives you happy customers too.
Yeah.
And that's not by accident either. You know, culture in the company is, it's something you have to create, not just,
yep.
And if you do let it go by accident, then usually it's not a great experience for the employees.
Yeah. One of our partners, Ben, is in charge of all of our like internal operations, and he is meticulous about that, about making sure that culture there's good. No one's, you know, feeling like we're screwing them over, or, you know, we're taking advantage of them, or however. And so we've tried really hard to kind of cultivate that
and that's since the get-go. Important piece of Biz for Good. Again, it's not just about treating the clients good, but it's also about treating the employees good. The overall experience makes such a big difference.
Well, we actually, most of our employees are actually remote. They work from home. And one of the things that we did early on was we were going through some, you know, crazy hyper growth 1 month where we actually had to hire like 150 people.
Wow.
And
In a month.
Yeah. And we put together this.
Don't try this at home.
Yeah, it was.
These are professionals.
Well, let's say we learned a lot. Is that a good way to put it?
Okay. Let's say that.
But we went through a week where we were working with the, what's it called? Like the Chamber of Commerce. There you go. Chamber of Commerce for like Roosevelt and Vernal, Roosevelt and Vernal, who, you know, with the oil downturn, it's been a little tough out there to find jobs. And we went out there and worked with them to basically show up on a Saturday, have everybody fill out all this paperwork, and do like a couple hours of training with us, like at the Chamber of Commerce on laptops and everything, and then like send them home with their materials and everything.
Wow.
And we hired like, I think it was 48 people in one day.
Oh.
Like it was 24 in Vernal and 24 in Roosevelt.
Hashtag and, be good, do good.
But they are some of our employees that have, you know, stuck around the longest. You know, it's kind of like a call center-y job. So you get people that just kind of
in and out.
Yeah, in and out. But a lot of those guys have stuck around, and we still, you know, we're doing all we can to kind of bring jobs where they're needed. And that's
so. Yeah. And that part of Utah is, I mean, their economy has struggled for years, if not decades. And so to have someone reach out to that group and recognize we can take jobs, we can improve the living condition in this remote area. Sorry, if you live in the basin, I love the basin, but it is somewhat remote.
Well, it's a few hours away from, you know, Salt Lake. So it's not super accessible from airports or anything.
I can see that being a real, I mean, now with all the remote office stuff, I mean, people can be anywhere almost. I mean, it's really cool. So we only got like a few more minutes, and we have our last big question that we want to ask, which is, what's the future? What does the future hold for Smart Rhino Labs, for Brett Evanson? What do you think about the future?
Yeah, so our future seems pretty bright. We're still growing right now. We are.
Do you wear shades at the office?
Not that kind of.
That's no, pretty bright future.
We're still growing. We're branching out into new industries, like with the healthcare and the customer service, call center, recruiting. We're taking some of our technology that we've built and even looking outside of the recruiting space into ways that we can utilize some, you know, things we've learned and figured out technologically to do the same thing in other industries. I don't think recruiting is going anywhere, especially transportation and healthcare. I mean, everybody's worried about...
People still got to find jobs? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, people still have to find jobs. That's not going anywhere anytime soon. So
And employers need to find employees.
Yeah.
In a better way. I mean, now with the technology smashing you from every side, somebody that can spread the noise away from all of the junk, which it sounds like that's what you guys are specializing in, getting them qualified folks that are connected.
Yeah, and we do really well helping like systems or processes that aren't optimized. We can kind of hack them to be optimized even if we don't control the whole system. Mm-hmm. So an example would be like you have a recruiting team that, you know, works out of Salesforce or who knows what CRM, and maybe they're only contacting, you know, 10-15% of the job applicants that come through. That's kind of probably on the low end, but that's kind of common. Mm-hmm. We take some technology, and as your leads are coming in, we just kind of like call them and turn them into inbound phone calls. And like your recruiters then can't not answer the phone, you know, so we kind of hack that, you know, and so we're doing things like that to kind of just change how processes run to make them more efficient. And then you get, you know, a better experience for the job applicant because more of them are actually talking to a recruiter. Get a better experience for the recruiter because they're actually busier. They're, you know,
talking to
qualified people, right, mm-hmm. who are actually interested in the job.
Yeah.
And then it's a better experience for the company as well because their costs go down because they're, you know, fixed costs on the recruiter. So it's a win across the board.
So I would say that you're kind of a little bit of a problem for headhunters.
We do really well in like the high volume kind of hires, and okay. I would
so
say
still
maybe blue collar.
Stuff.
Yeah, and most of the headhunter guys are still white collar or engineers or, you know, things that are.
But that could be a future thing.
Yeah, we've thought of ways to do that.
I smell some disruption here.
There you go.
I love disruptive technology.
Q3, we'll put on the board to see if we can get something wrong.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Brett. Thank you so much for being on the show. You want to tighten things up?
Hey, I just want to say hashtag.
Be good, do good. Hashtag.
Be good, do good.
Hashtag.
Be good, do good.
Thank you for listening to the Biz for Good show series with Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. We want to thank our guests and all our fans of the show. Again, you can find us online at bizforgoodshow.com and on all our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Have a great day, and remember, be good, do good.